Will you please turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 13? John, chapter 13. We'll read from verse 1 through verse 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. And during feast, supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, that he should deliver him up, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came out from God and was going to God, rises from supper and lays aside his garments, and having taken a linen towel, he girded himself. Then he pours water into the washhand basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the linen towel with which he was girded. He comes therefore to Simon Peter, and he says to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou dost not know now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter says to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, Unless I wash thee, thou hast not part with me. Simon Peter says to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed all over needs not to wash save his feet, but is wholly clean. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew him that delivered him up. On account of this he said, Ye are not all clean. When therefore he had washed their feet, and taken his garments, having sat down again, he said to them, Do ye know what I have done to you? Ye call me the teacher and the Lord, and ye say, Well, for I am so. If I therefore, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that, as I have done to you, ye should do also. Verily, verily, I say to you, the bondman is not greater than his Lord, nor the sent greater than he who has sent him. If ye know these things, blessed are ye if ye do them. Same chapter, verse 34 and verse 35. A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all know that ye are disciples of mine. 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. Hereby we have known love, because he has laid down his life for us, and we ought, for the brethren, to lay down our lives. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we have just read thy word. Thy words are life and spirit. So we just turn to thee and ask that thy Holy Spirit will breathe again upon thy written word and make it living and operative in each of our lives. Lord, we are before thee and before thy word. Speak to us, we ask in thy precious name. Amen. The Passover was coming. This will be the last Passover that our Lord will have with his own disciples. And as a matter of fact, it is the first Passover feast that our Lord himself prepared. In the past, he never acted as the head of a family. But at this last Passover feast, he acted as the head of his own family. And of course, his family was composed of his 12 disciples. So it was the Lord himself who prepared this Passover feast. He not only prepared the place, you remember how he sent his 2 disciples out and found the place that was ready. He actually, for the first time, he offered the lamb as a sacrifice. And as a matter of fact, he himself is the very lamb. When the disciples came to that upper room for that last supper, they enter into the room, and to their surprise, they found no maid there washing their feet. You know, it was the custom of that time. Whenever there was a feast, and when the guests came in, the first thing, there would be a maid at the door washing the feet of the guests. Because at that time there was no paved road. It was dirt road. And did not wear shoes as we do. They wear sandals. So after their travel, their feet were covered with dirt and was very uncomfortable. And you know, when they eat, they recline. So in other words, their feet were just sticking out. And it will be very uncomfortable. And the guests will not enjoy their feast as much. So the first thing that the host will do was to have a maid there to wash their feet, so they could enjoy the feast that followed. But to their surprise, they found there was no maid there. Now remember, it was the Lord who prepared this meal. He prepared everything. The water was there, the basin was there, the linen was there, but there was no maid. It must be a prearrangement by our Lord Jesus. As they enter into the room, you know what they did? As usual, when people came to a feast, probably they would try to find the higher seat. Everybody wanted to sit at the highest place. And that was what was usually done among the Jewish people. You remember once our Lord told them, when you come to a feast, now do not try to get to the higher seat, because maybe there will be someone more honorable than you are invited. And the host will come and say, please give that seat to the more honorable person. Then with shame, you will go to the last seat. But this was not only true with the Jews. It was true with the disciples. In Luke chapter 22, verse 24, we are told, there was a strife among the disciples as to who was to hold the highest place. So in a sense, you find as they come in, if you can picture them, as they come in, they were trying to get to the highest seat, every one of them. And with that kind of mood, of course, no one would think of washing any other body's feet. Because everyone wants to get to the higher seat. And evidently, Judas got it. Because according to Edersheim, he said, felt that Judas sat at the left of our Lord Jesus. And that was the highest seat of the guests. And I believe our Lord just watched with amusement. And after they seated, most likely our Lord began to give them a lesson. The Lord said, in the nations, the king ruled over the people. Those who exercise authority were called benefactors. But this is not true with you. If you want to be the greatest, you have to be the youngest. If you want to be the highest, you have to be the lowest. Who is greater? The one who sits at table or the one who serves? The Lord said, I am among you as one who serves. Then the feast began. And usually, according to their custom, the host will lift up the first cup, which is called the cup of thanksgiving. And he will give thanks to God, and this cup will pass around. Then they will sing two hallel, two songs of praise. And most likely it will be Psalm 113. And Psalm 114. And after the singing of these two songs, then the meal will begin. And usually, at the beginning of the meal, the host will rise up and wash his hands. But strangely, you find when our Lord rose up, he went and poured the water into the basin. He girded himself with a towel and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Very probably, Simon Peter was the first one whom our Lord went to wash the feet. Because according to Edersheim, now the way the table was set, must be our Lord was sitting in the middle of one side, and on the left side was Judas, and on the right side was John, and in the opposite side was Simon Peter. So probably Simon Peter at that time, you know, he took the last seat. That was the last seat. And our Lord Jesus began with the last seat. So when he came to Simon Peter and tried to wash his feet. Now when Simon saw that, he was really frightened. He said, Lord, you can never do that. Because this was the work of a slave girl. The lowest work. And how could the Lord wash his feet? But the Lord said, what I'm doing now, you don't understand. But you will understand later on. And Peter said, no, you should never wash my feet. And the Lord said, if I do not wash your feet, then you have no part with me. And there was Peter. He said, Lord, not only my feet, my hands and my head. And the Lord said, you don't need it. You have been washed all over. And all you need is to wash your feet. And our Lord began to wash the feet of every one of them, including Judas. Now, after he finished washing them, he put on his garment, he sat down and he began to teach them. You know, as a matter of fact, he already taught them in the beginning. But teaching by words had to be supported by teaching by deeds. He gave them an object lesson. So after he had done all this, then he began to say to them, he said, "You call me the teacher, the Lord, and I am so. I'm your teacher. I'm your Lord. But I wash your feet. I set you an example. And if you do it, you will be blessed." And after that, during the meal, he gave them a new commandment. He said, "Love one another as I have loved you. And by this, you will be known as my disciples, if you have love among yourselves." Now, brothers and sisters, this morning, we are not going to talk about feet washing. But we would like to use this to learn something which is so important to us as the disciples of our Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord gives us a new commandment. The other day I was reading Spurgeon. And Spurgeon told a story. See, there was once that Archbishop Usher. Well, we know Archbishop Usher was a great man of God. As a matter of fact, many of our chronological things are done by Usher. And he heard about Samuel Rutherford. You know, Samuel Rutherford was a very saintly person. And he heard about him and about his family. How beautiful, orderly was his family. So he was trying to find out whether it was true of what he had heard. So once he disguised himself as a traveler, as a poor man, and he came to the door of Samuel Rutherford, because that home was always open to strangers. So he came to that door, and the door was open, and it was Mrs. Rutherford. And she said, "Come in. You're welcome." So he was taken to the kitchen. And there he was served a hot meal. And after the meal, it was their habit to have a kind of a family meeting with the domestics and the family. So of course the stranger stayed there. And so Mrs. Rutherford, Samuel was not there, and Mrs. Rutherford was leading the meeting. And she usually will ask some questions of his domestics, her domestics, about the basic faith. So she turned to the stranger, and she said, "Do you know how many commandments there are in the Bible?" And this stranger said, 11 commandments. And Mrs. Rutherford said, 11 commandments? He said, "Even a little boy of 6 years old in my family knew how many commandments there are." You are very innocent. And this stranger didn't say a word. And then he went to bed. At midnight, Samuel Rutherford usually have his midnight prayer. And this stranger got up and heard Samuel praying. And after he heard Samuel praying, he disclosed himself to Samuel. He was that Archbishop Usher. So the next day, Samuel asked Usher to preach. And the topic of his preaching is the 11th commandment. I think it was a pretty good story. So here you'll find the Lord Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Now, of course, we know one day when a scribe came to tempt our Lord Jesus, he asked our Lord Jesus, which is the greatest of the commandments? And our Lord said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your understanding. This is the highest and the greatest of all commandments. And second to it is love your neighbors as yourselves. And on these two commandments, all the prophets and the law hang. So we know there are 10 commandments. And yet the Lord said, I give you a new commandment. Now, if you turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8, you will find the Apostle John writes that letter saying that, I'm not giving you a new commandment. It is the old commandment, the word that you have heard from the beginning. And yet he said, I'm writing to you a new commandment. This is true to him and to you, because the darkness is passing and the light shines. So, dear brothers and sisters, this new commandment is both old and new. In a sense, it is old, because it is the commandment, it is the word of God that has given to us from the very beginning. What God desires from us is love. Love him with all our hearts. And love our neighbors as ourselves. It is old. And yet, to us, it is new. The Lord said, I give you a new commandment. Now, in what sense it is new? You know, when the old commandment was given, it was given under the law. The law said, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your understanding. Law demands that. Because our God is worthy to be loved. And we ought to love him. It is our human duty to love him with all our hearts. And the Lord demands it. But unfortunately, because of the weakness of our flesh, we are not able to obey that law. Who is able to love God with all his heart, all his soul, and all his understanding? We have all broken that law. The law is holy and spiritual, but we are carnal and fleshly. So here you'll find the Lord said, I give you a new commandment. And the new commandment is also love. But there is a difference, because it is given in grace. In other words, the Lord himself will fulfill that commandment. He gives us his life, and his life is a life of love. He has shown us what kind of a life it is. He loved us and gave himself for us. So after we receive his life in us, by his life, we are able to love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, and all our understanding. Now, that makes us new. Secondly, it is new. Because in the old commandment, it says, love your neighbors. Now, who is your neighbor? You remember again that story? That scribe, that lawyer, wants to prove how well he knows. So he asked the Lord, now who is my neighbor? Is this the one on my left hand or on my right side? How far my neighbor includes? Now probably with the Jews, the neighbors probably includes all the Jews. But even so, it is restricted, selective. But in the new commandment, the Lord says, love the brethren. And that is universal. Not just the one next to you. Not just the one of your own race. But in the big family of God. All over this world. So you find the scope is different. We ought to love the brethren. Love them because they belong to the same family of God. And thirdly, it is new. Because in the old commandment, it said, love your neighbors as yourself. In other words, you are the standard. You just love them as yourself. And of course, that is a very high standard. Because we usually love ourselves much more than we love anybody else. But here you find our Lord Jesus raised the standard. He said, love one another as I have loved you. It is no longer that natural love. It is no longer the love that is limited to the extent of ourselves. It is a love of God. The love of our Lord Jesus. It is unlimited. So, brothers and sisters, here you find a new commandment. And the new commandment is, love one another as I have loved you. And this is the word of our Lord to his own disciples. And this is the word that the Lord speaks to each one. The Lord used the washing of feet to teach us the lesson of loving one another. Why? First of all, you find washing feet is the lowest possible work. Usually a slave girl will do that work. But here our Lord Jesus comes and he said, I'm your Lord. I'm your teacher. The Lord knows who he is. And yet, he humbled himself to wash his disciples' feet. You know, in order to wash anybody's feet, you have to be lower than that person. You have to be lower at his feet. It is a very humbling place. You cannot get lower than that. And yet you find the humbleness, the humility of our Lord Jesus. He who was equal with God, and that was not something to be robbed at, he emptied himself to take up the form of a slave He was in the form of God, with all the character, nature, essence of God, because He was God. And yet, He took up a form of a slave. In other words, in His heart, He humbled Himself to take the place of a slave. And having taken that place, being in the fashion of man, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient to the Father, even unto death, and that the death of the cross. There's not a more cruel death than the death of the cross. And our Lord took it. So, dear brothers and sisters, as you think of our Lord Jesus, the one thing that stands out most in His life is humility. His very character that reveals to us is His humbleness. And here He demonstrated to His own disciples. He who was the highest, yet He condescended Himself to be lower than His disciples, in order to serve them and wash their feet. Now, brothers and sisters, naturally, this is not in us. Naturally, every one of us is proud, is arrogant. You know, do not think that you are humble. You are meek. You are gentle. You are lowly. Now, it is true that among the children of Adam, some inherit more of his pride, and some may inherit a little bit less. But anyway, you find pride is the very character of Adam, of Adamic race. Naturally, we are all proud. Do not say you are humble. You deceive yourself if you think you are humble. No sons of Adam is humble. And it is natural for us to seek for the highest place. We want to be the greatest. That's in every one of us. That's natural. We want to be served than to serve. Because to serve is to take a lower place. To be served is to rise up higher. It's natural in every one of us. And here the Lord is teaching us a very important lesson. He shows us His own character, which is the very opposite of Adam's character. We who have His life, the first thing we need to learn is to learn His humility. We learn to know how His life works in us. And as His life really works in us, brothers and sisters, the first lesson is humility. We learn to humble ourselves, not only before God. You know, it is strange that people can be proud, arrogant, even before God. But here you'll find we need to be humble before our brothers and sisters. It is the teaching of the Word of God that we should esteem others as more honorable than we are. It is not a false humility. If the life of Christ really rules in us, then this is supernaturally natural to us. we will look upon our brothers and sisters as more honorable than we are. And with that spirit of humility, we will love to serve instead of being served. We will not look upon any service as too low, too mean for us, as if we will lose our dignity if we do that. Brothers and sisters, are we characterized by the life of Christ? How do we show the life of Christ if it is not in humility? And I believe this is something, a basic thing, that every one of us must be before the Lord. Ask the Lord to examine us, to show us where we are in this matter of humility. Then you'll find this matter of humility is very practical. It is not a theory. It is expressed in deeds, in practical deeds, and that is in the washing of feet. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that in the Old Testament time, in the temple, that is, in the tabernacle, after the brazen altar, there will be the laver, the brass laver there. In other words, after you have passed the altar, receiving the atoning death of our Lord Jesus, have our sins forgiven, we are all made priests unto God. And we are all supposed to begin to serve. But before you can serve, you have to wash your hands and your feet at the brazen laver. Why? Because even if we are baptized, washed, clean, and yet in our walk on this earth, in our daily life, in our contact with the world, we may not commit any sin, but somehow you'll find the dust and the dirt of the world will begin to pile upon us. So we are not as fresh before the Lord, as living before the Lord as we should. You know, the problem is when you get up in the morning and you have a good time with the Lord, you feel that you are very close to the Lord. You're really living in His presence, and you feel your spirit is really lifted, and then you go out into your work. And in the work, of course, by the grace of God, you are kept from sinning. And yet somehow you'll find in your contact with the world, somehow there was a cloud or some dirt or some dust began to gather upon your conscience, upon your heart. And after the day is over, you feel as if your communing with the Lord is not as fresh and living. There was a kind of dirt covering there. And it may take a little time to get over it. Well, when you come to a meeting, it is the same thing. You know, after a day's work, you find that you're loaded, and somehow your spirit is not as fresh and living. But if any brother or sister will say a prayer or a hymn, somehow you'll find you're lifted up, you're refreshed, You have your feet washed. And how we need that. And brothers and sisters, you know our Lord is still washing our feet today. This was not just done 2,000 years ago with the 12. Our Lord is still washing our feet. You remember in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, He loved us. He loved the church and gave himself for it, sanctifying it by purifying it with the washing of the water with the word, that he may present to himself a church glorious, without spot or wrinkle or any of such sort, holy. So, dear brothers and sisters, you know our Lord Jesus, even today, is still washing our feet. In your daily walk, somehow the world began to come in and put a kind of distance between you and the Lord. You do not feel living and fresh as you should. And it is at that time that our Lord Jesus will wash you by the word and the water. Now, what is the water there in Ephesians chapter 5? The water there is not the word. You know, sometimes we say the word is like water. When the word of God comes to us, it washes clean. But here you find washing with the water with the word. So the water there cannot be the word. Now, what is the water there? And if you go back to John chapter 19, you find when our Lord Jesus was being speared by that soldier, out of his inside comes out blood and water. And John witnessed that. And he emphatically said, what I witness is true and is not false. Now why? Why is this so important? Because in 1 John he said, there is the water, the blood, and the spirit that make the testimony. So, brothers and sisters, the blood is for the remission of our sins. Then what is the water? It is life. Life. The life of our Lord Jesus. He poured out his soul like water. So, dear brothers and sisters, even today, daily, our Lord humbles himself and washes our feet. He is washing our feet. He is using his life to wash our feet. His life will clean us. His life will tell us what is defiled, what is unclean. And his word will remind us what is clean and what is unclean. And by the working of the life and his word, brothers and sisters, we are clean every day, that we may be fit to be priests, to serve him and to serve our brothers and sisters. How I thank the Lord for that. If he is not washing my feet, the dirt will accumulate. I will become so dull spiritually that I will be so far from him. My communion with him probably will be interrupted and suffered. And where will I be? after a month, a year? Dear brothers and sisters, our Lord, even by the right hand of His Father on the throne, as our great high priest, He still humbles Himself and washes our feet. You know, He washes your feet every day. You need it. If you refuse to have Him wash your feet, you will have no part in it. But today you are still having part with Him. It is because you allow Him to wash your feet. So dear brothers and sisters, do refuse our Lord in washing your feet. In a sense, welcome it. Ask the Lord, wash my feet every day, every moment of the day, that I may walk before You in holiness and in righteousness. We need that very much. So, brothers and sisters, as our Lord is continuing in washing our feet, He sets us an example and He says, wash one another's feet. What does He mean? It means that if you have your feet washed, then in turn you shall wash the feet of your brothers and sisters. First of all, because we have to have our feet washed. Now, if our feet is not washed, how can we wash others' feet? In other words, we will not even notice it. But if we keep ourselves fresh and living in life before the Lord, then, brothers and sisters, you will notice in the life of your brothers and sisters who are in need of washing. Outwardly, a brother or sister may appear all right, but when you contact, in touch with him, you sense in your spirit there is no livingness, no freshness there. He may not have left the Lord, but somehow you know he is not in that living, fresh relationship with the Lord. There is something that has clouded his life. And that's the time when you need to wash his feet with love. It is a humble job, but it is a very necessary work. You know, this matter of washing one another's feet is fellowship. We often talk about fellowship. Now, what do you mean by fellowship? Fellowship is sharing the same. It's sharing the life of Christ. That's fellowship. Fellowship is not social intercourse. Fellowship is imparting Christ, giving Christ, receiving Christ. That is fellowship. The Apostle John says, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And based upon that fellowship, we fellowship with you. In other words, we pass on to you the Father and the Son that we have known, that we have experienced. Now that's fellowship. Fellowship is more than a matter of words. You know, of course we fellowship with words. As you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when the church gathers, that each one may have a tongue, one may have an interpretation, one may have a song, one may have a word, a prophecy, whatever, revelation, you know, and by these words we share Christ with one another. That's fellowship. But sometimes fellowship need not be in words. It can be, indeed. If you love your brother, if you wash your brother's feet, you are imparting Christ to that brother. And that is fellowship. And I believe this is something that we need to learn more. Learn to share Christ with one another by the deeds of love. You may not need to say any word, but by the very deed, that brother or sister is refreshed. Love one another as I have loved. You know, the extent of that love is unlimited. As I have loved you. Think of the love of our Lord Jesus to us. He gave himself for us. Everything for us. He does not withhold anything. And that is the way the Lord said we ought to love one another. Of course we cannot do that. It is not in us, but it is in Him. And He is in us. And because His life is in us, if we cultivate our life with the Lord, then life will be expressed towards our brothers and sisters. So in this matter of the washing of feet, our Lord gave the disciples a lesson that they could never forget. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn the lesson. The Lord said, if you love one another as I have loved you, then the world will know you are my disciple. They will know when there is love among you. Dear brothers and sisters, how will the world know that we are the disciples of our Lord Jesus? By our teaching? By the truth that we know? Thank God for teachings. Thank God for the truth that He has given to us. But brothers and sisters, you know, wherever there is truth, it separates. It repels. It will cause opposition. And that is the very character of truth, nature of truth. How should we be known as disciples of our Lord? Not by claiming that we have the teaching, we have the truth. If we love, the people will know. And that is the testimony of the early church. When the world looked at the early church, they said, see these people, how they love one another. And this is our need. So may the Lord have mercy upon us, that by His grace we may learn to love as He has loved us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thou dost love us and love us to the uttermost. How we praise and thank thee, thou dost not only teach us love, thou dost demonstrate it by washing our feet. Lord, may thy love fill our hearts, that we may love thee and love one another as thou hast loved us. Lord, our desire is that we may be known by thy grace as a people who love. Not as a people who know a lot and yet do not have love. Have mercy upon us. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus.